Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
So last week I began a two-part series, part one last week, on five purposes that God has for our lives. Let's review last week before we carry on. Number one, we saw that we are created for God's pleasure. So our first purpose is to know and love God better. Secondly, we've been formed for His family. So our second purpose is to get into a spiritual family and learn to love those there. Love God, love people. That's our first two purposes for being alive. All right? Let's look at the next three that I want to share with you today. The third one is God made me to be like Jesus. And we sang about that today. God made me to be like Jesus. God wants you to grow up spiritually. You grew up physically, right? That's automatic. You don't have a choice but to get older. You have a choice to grow spiritually. You could be 70 years old today and still be a spiritual baby. We said last week that life is like a dress rehearsal for heaven, right? We're practicing now for what we're going to do in heaven. God wants you to grow up to be like Jesus. He was a human to show us how that's done. Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. We know from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, that we were created physically in God's image and likeness to be like Him. And now we see in this verse, Romans 8:29, that God wants us to be in Christ's image spiritually. God wants you to be like His Son, Jesus. You don't become a god. You do become godly. You will never be a god, but you will be godly. Have good character. Be a person of integrity who is generous and humble and loving like Jesus. I think God is so much more interested in who you are than what you do for a living. You're not taking your career to heaven, but you are taking your character. I think you could have a dozen different jobs in this life, but God is much more interested in your character than your job, in you, than what you do for a living. God can grow you up in your character in any job you have. Now, Christians oftentimes will ask this question, why is this happening to me? And the simple answer is to help you grow spiritually. All the good, all the bad, and all the ugly stuff that happens to us in this life is meant to help us grow closer to Him. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And in Genesis 50 and verse 20, Joseph is saying to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. God doesn't do evil, but He brings good out of evil. Anyone can bring good out of good. That's easy, but it's hard to bring good out of evil. And so our God turns crucifixions into resurrections. The death of His Son, that was a terrible evil, but He raised Him from the dead in order to save the world. That's the greatest good. So God is asking us to respond to trials that happen to us in this life, and they will, with a good attitude. What are you teaching me, Lord, rather than why is this happening to me? Lord, what do you want me to learn? Every life experience will make you bitter or better. It's your choice. You determine if you're going to grow spiritually or not. Every problem that you are now facing has a purpose that's meant to make you more like Jesus, to become mature, not stay immature. I am certain that I have grown more through the problems and difficulties that I faced in this life than I have my blessings. I'm thankful for the blessings, but real spiritual growth comes in crisis times when it shows your true colors. Life's easy when everything's going well. Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, have the same attitude as Jesus and the things that he went through. Another word for that is bearing good fruit. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So these are the qualities that God wants you to express. And he's put the Holy Spirit in you to help bring those things out. A life that's overflowing with these characteristics of love, joy, and peace. So how do I grow in them? Do I just wake up one morning and suddenly I have them all? Do I walk down the street and God zaps me with patience now? No, that's not usually how it works. Usually, God allows difficult situations in your life where you have to choose the right course of action. In other words, he teaches you to love by putting you around a bunch of unlovable people. It's easy to love nice, kind people who have great personalities. What about joy? Joy isn't the same thing as happiness, which depends on good circumstances. Joy is an internal choice that you make even when your circumstances sink and aren't good and you feel heavy of heart and are grieving. What about peace? It's easy to be peaceful by a lake or on the beach. It's hard when you're in the middle of a bunch of chaos and you're just crying out to God, "Oh God, bring me some peace in this situation." How about patience? What if you need more patience in your life? You're going to have to go down to the Department of Motor Vehicles or get stuck in a traffic jam. That's how it comes. So my third purpose, this is a fill-in, to grow up spiritually. God wants you to grow up spiritually. You're physically maturing. God wants you spiritually mature. With spiritual depth and substance. And you can be that way. He will help you. He'll empower you. Paul David Tripp says, we don't talk about it much. It doesn't find its way into our theological outlines. It's not the typical way we think about our Redeemer. Yet it is an observation that not only gives you hope, but defines for you what your Lord is doing right here, right now. Here it is. You serve a dissatisfied Redeemer. I have to think about that. What? You ought to be very thankful that your Lord isn't easily satisfied. He does not do his work poorly or incompletely. He does not walk away from what he has begun until it is perfectly finished. He does not grow bored, tired, discouraged, or distracted. He does not have a short attention span. He does not suffer from redemptive attention deficit disorder. He never grows impatient. He isn't irritated by how long his work is taking. He never wishes that he hadn't begun in the first place. He never tries to rush what takes time. He never uses his power to turn what must be a process into an event. He never wonders if it's worth it and contemplates calling it all off. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you glad that he's still continuing to work with you, making you more like Jesus and not just throwing up his hands and say, it's no use. They're a lost cause. Well, some of us are behind in this lifelong process of becoming like Jesus. And that's exactly what it is. It's a process. It's a journey. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. But some of us we're not moving along in that process because we don't read our Bibles. We don't forgive one another. We stay mad. You have to choose love and joy. God wants you to choose it. Our culture so desperately needs really Christians who are living out their faith, that are a light to the world. Whereas when they look at us, oftentimes they just see American Christians as materialistic giants and spiritual pygmies. Now, we just had a grandson. Boy, is he a delight. He's about 5 months old. Love him. So what does he do? He cries when things don't go his way, when he doesn't get what he wants. And of course, that's normal for his age. But young children, including his 3-year-old sister, are self-centered, self-absorbed, and impatient. I mean, they just are. That they want what they want at that moment. I must have it now. Our grandson wakes up his mother at least 3 times during the middle of the night. That's not very nice. That's not thinking about what she needs. And unfortunately, that's how many of us are too. Rather than living in the light of eternity, be more like Jesus, we're more like spoiled toddlers. We're manipulated by our wants. We're focused on our feelings almost entirely. Mark 4:19. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So we need deeper soil. We're too shallow. It's time that we grow up. Our first purpose is to know and love God better and back. Love him back for what he's done for us. Our second purpose is to learn to love others in God's family. And our third purpose is to be more like Jesus in how we live our lives. That we're growing spiritually. Let's look at our fourth purpose. God has shaped me to serve him. So God's created me to live on this earth that I might serve him. Psalm 139:13-14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You're unique. You're not one in a million. You're one in 8 billion. No one like you exactly has lived genetically with that same genetic and DNA formula. No one. No one has had your spirit, which now lives inside your body. So be who God made you to be, the unique creation of God. Don't be what others say you should be. Don't try to fit into the mold of others' expectations. Because God made you for his perfect purpose. You can try hard all your life to please other people and be who they say you should be rather than who God made you to be. And that's no good. And this is why I'm against abortion. It murders a human being made in the image of God who has this potential to be a world changer. That's why I don't believe in outwardly changing your gender. Because God made you who he wanted you to be. He didn't make a mistake. And if you'll accept that, you're going to be happier. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're created for good works, not good works to earn salvation, but as our contribution to the world. Good works show that we truly are saved. There's evidence of our salvation. There's proof that we know God. And so God expects you to serve him and others with your natural and spiritual gifts that have been given to you. No one else can do it exactly like you. You are the missing piece to the puzzle. 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you are saved, You've been given a spiritual gift or gifts to use for God, in addition to your natural talents that God may have given you and the skills that you've developed over a lifetime of learning and experience. And it's all for God's purpose. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Spiritual gifts aren't so that you'll make a lot of money. They're so you will serve God and others. Your spiritual gifts and natural abilities are for serving others, not yourself or your ego. God made this world so we would need each other and all the combined spiritual gifts and abilities. Nobody has it all together. Nobody has all the gifts. We need each other. And we need to practice those gifts on earth for their use in heaven. Practice them, if you will, because we're learning and growing by doing them. We don't know exactly what we'll do in heaven, but I know we'll have jobs to do. This phrase occurs four times in the New Testament, that we will rule and reign with Christ. Whatever that means, we're going to at least do that. The Bible also says it will serve God and worship Him in heaven. Revelation 22:3. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. That we know we're going to do that in heaven for sure. Serve God and worship Him in heaven. Now, we can't do that directly yet because we're not there. We do it indirectly by serving others. So my fourth purpose for being on this earth is to serve others. Serve others with my gifts that God has given me. You exist on planet Earth to make it a better place for other people by serving them. Okay, let's do our fifth purpose. God has called me for a mission. God has called me for a mission. And this is related to your giftedness for service, which is in specific ways that are unique to you, whereas you have a general mission to fulfill that all Christians are called to do and must do. Jesus said this in John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. He's praying for his disciples and his future disciples. That's us. And Jesus is saying, Lord, as I fulfill my mission here, now I'm sending them so they can fulfill the mission you've given to them. Where there's no vision, let's say, for a business, it fails. Or for a marriage or family, it suffers. No vision for a country, it falls apart. No vision for life, what happens? You drift. God doesn't want you drifting through life. He wants you to fulfill His perfect plan for your life. Maybe you feel like today you've been doing your own plan and it hasn't worked out very well and you're stressed out. Why not switch from your plan to God's plan for your life? I would say that we have it very well here in America. No doubt about it. Virginia is a very nice place to live. I have been to Haiti 3 times. It's not a nice or easy place to live. If you can picture living in your garage with a family of 8, you've got an idea of what living in Haiti is like. But I can tell you this, there is something a lot better than Virginia, and it's called heaven. I'm going to read these lyrics from a Gaither song. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. Doesn't that sound good? No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. No more pain. No more parting over there. But forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I tell you, I want to get to heaven. I don't want to miss it. And I want to take as many people with me as possible. So I and you have been gifted to serve others, but our collective mission is to share Christ. You know, of the five purposes, this is the only one we won't do in heaven. We won't need to share the gospel with the unsaved there. This mission to share Christ is called the Great Commission. You probably heard that phrase. Matthew 28:19 is one of those verses that speak to it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples of all nations. That word go is a command in the grammar of the original Greek. Command. We're commanded to do it. Some of us will be called to go overseas and share Christ. Others of us will be called to go across the street. But it's our responsibility. I mean, who else is going to do it, right? If the Christians won't do it, if they won't share Jesus with the world, who's supposed to do it? This is for us. Our mission is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world so that they can go to heaven too. And we'll be rewarded for doing it. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 to 20. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope? Or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at His coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. It's a privilege for us to be able to share our faith. And maybe someone will come up to heaven, us in heaven, and say, I'm here because of you, because you shared your faith with me. So we share out of gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. We just tell people our testimony. Doesn't have to be complicated. Doesn't have to be so theologically deep even. We just say, this is what I was before. This is what Jesus has done for me. And this is what I'm living now. The gospel. Your testimony. We can all do it. So God has these purposes for our lives. Isn't it great knowing that you don't have to just drift through life wondering, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with myself? You're here for a reason. But maybe you feel today, I'm just not walking in my purpose. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So maybe you feel that way today. Jesus would say to you, come to me. Just surrender your life to me and your will to me all over again. Trust me. Put your faith in me. I'll show you the way. I'll lead you. A final review before we close here. Five purposes. The first one, to know and love God. I'm on earth to do that. Second, to be in God's family, which is the church, which we all know isn't perfect. And we're here to love those imperfect people. Third is to grow spiritually, to become like Jesus. That's why I'm here, to be like Him. Fourth is to serve others with the gifts that I've been given. And my fifth purpose, to share Christ with unbelievers so they can go to heaven too. I'd like to pray with you all. And here's what I kind of pictured happening in my mind this morning. Is that I would invite those who are able to and want to move out from your pew and to stand up front and kind of fill this front area. Maybe we'll have to be down the aisles a little bit, down the center aisle, the side aisles. And if you're not able to come and walk and stand for a while, that's okay. Just you're fine right where you're seated. But if you'd like to just come forward, that means all who can, to stand up front. And then I just want to kind of pray a prayer over us as a congregation for this new year. I know it's the 18th, but we're still pretty early in the new year. And just pray for us to fulfill God's mission and purpose for us. Come on up. And then we'll go back and sit down and close with a song. Yeah, squeeze on in. Okay. All right. Looks like we're getting there. Okay, I'm going to pray. Lord, as we are here this morning in your presence, you see us. And as we're standing up here together as a church family, as the body of Christ, we're to love one another. Lord, we're doing our best. Help us. Lord, we do truly want to know and love you more. That is our heart's desire. We do want to be more like Jesus and less like our old self. That when someone looks at us, they see Jesus. Lord, we do want to serve you with the gifts you've given us. And Lord, you have given us a spiritual gift, at the very least, and probably more natural talents and abilities than we're aware of. May we have a mindset. Rather than making a lot of money with these abilities, what can I do for you, Lord? How can I serve you and others? And Lord, give us more of a passion to share our faith. I know that's a scary and hard thing to do, Lord. But if we frame it as a way of, this is what Jesus has done for me, it's easier. We want others to go to heaven too. Thank you for saving us that we can go there and be with you. But we want others to go there as well. So Lord, show us in our life, maybe someone at work, maybe someone in our neighborhood, maybe someone across the world, that we could share Jesus with them. So Lord, we offer ourselves to you today as a living sacrifice. We don't want to climb down off that altar too early. We just want to stay there and be a sacrifice to you. Consume us, Lord, with more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now if you don't mind, just kind of filter back to your seats. And then we'll close with a song. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.